scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 29th of March 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 27. Glory to you, O Lord. Please be seated for the initial part of this reading. I'll invite you to stand as we come towards its conclusion. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge. So the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As you are able, will you please stand? As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. They sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also along with the scribes and elders were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The rebels who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. What a difference a few days make, hey? He made such an impression with his entry into town, didn't he? The one who came made quite a statement as he came to Jerusalem that very first Palm Sunday. What was it all about? What difference does he make to us today? Jesus is greeted by the people of Jerusalem with acclamation. They throw down their cloaks and their palm branches before him on the road. The crowds shout, "Hosanna!" Hosanna. That's it. You've got it, crowds. Well done. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's how we receive him today, isn't it? What a great procession those people who are involved in the procession. And I just love it when our donkey comes out. It's so much a part of who we are. And so we lay our palm branches before this one again today, don't we? And we sing those hosannas, don't we? Wonderful, you're onto it. Will we go where he goes from here, though, is my question. The crowds who met Jesus that first Palm Sunday sing and cry and enact the words of the prophet from many centuries before, the prophet Zechariah. And sometimes we hear the words of that prophet on Palm Sunday, on Passion Sunday. And the words of Zechariah in chapter 9 read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter, O people, O city Jerusalem. Look, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus' entry to Jerusalem fulfills the scripture that God's Messiah would come and rescue his people. And there are two things that I'd like to highlight to you from that reading. Number one is the king comes to you. The king comes to me. The king comes to us today. God's Messiah comes to our city, to your suburb, to our church, to our neighbours, to our family, to the life that we are and are living. The place where you are, the king comes, triumphant and victorious. But secondly, he comes humbly. He comes in humility, riding on a donkey. And what does all that mean for us, I wonder? The crowds that greet and follow Jesus with their branches and their cries of Hosanna, which as we heard, thank you, which as we heard means save us, we pray, will soon be replaced by the shouts of let him be crucified, crucify him in the same city and perhaps by the same voices. Perhaps by our lives, by our words and by actions and our sins, perhaps our voices do the same. Jesus enters Jerusalem and is met by the crowd, but he enters Jerusalem for this crowd. He comes because of the crowd, because they, perhaps because we and you and I, hand on heart because of our sin, have abandoned him. And the amazing God-given irony I find is that this humble king goes to the cross for all of the people that cry out these words, for all of the people who abandon him because of sin. Hosanna! And Jesus saves. He saves by giving his life to be crucified for you and for me. The unexpected triumph and the sure victory of this king comes in the place where we don't expect it, in the place of the ultimate humility in sacrificing his own life. And as we heard then, we learn in Isaiah in our first reading today of who this king is. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. Will we travel this road too with the king, who gives his own life in your place and mine? Jesus fulfills the words of the prophet Isaiah, who tells in Isaiah, in these chapters, of four songs of a suffering servant. It's not the mighty king that some wanted or expected, but the one who takes the very anger and wrath of God on his own shoulders. You know, last Sunday, Pastor Sue preached of Jesus' anger over death. And the death that Jesus dies takes on the anger of God for you and for me. And he replaces that with life for us. The crowds sing Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, we pray. And the crowds shout, crucify, and the king saves. Will you follow him where he goes from here this Palm Sunday? We've asked the question over the past few Sundays, will you go where Jesus goes? Will you go with him to where the Samaritans in our lives and in our world are? Will you go to the ones who are excluded, like the man who was born blind, who was excluded from the worshipping community? Will you go as a community to care for the ones who grieve, like Mary and Martha at Lazarus' death? Will you follow this Jesus? Hosanna! Save us, we pray. And Jesus comes and Jesus does. Sure victory and triumph over death for you and for me. You are saved. We are saved. Now, those of us who put our hope in this one can also carry this king, just as the donkey carried Laura, I think it was, in the procession. We can carry him in our lives wherever we go to. We can go out into this city, into this place, into our neighbourhood, maybe to our family, maybe to the person who's sitting next to you today, and we can bring Jesus to them. In boldness, we too can follow where he goes and live a life of humbly serving others. My dear friends in Christ, who might God be calling you to this Holy Week? Who were you called to serve as the King comes to serve you? One of the key themes we identified 18 months ago here at St. Paul's was that of authentic, joyful service. And maybe this week, this Holy Week, is the time that we are called especially to this place. This renewal of desire to serve others, to move beyond a sense of duty to a genuine expression of love, compassion and hospitality inspired by Christ's example of humility. Next school term, we're going to be invited to explore our spiritual gifts together. And maybe this is also that call into that place of authentic, joyful service. Look forward to that. And prepare for that, perhaps, in these days. How will you welcome the King in your life by your serving? I rejoice in your stories of serving others as Jesus' carriers. Be encouraged that the King goes with you. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, and go where your King leads you. Amen. And this peace of God, which passes our human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.